Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Central. And there are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Well, good morning. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. Here's a question for you. Are your children or grandchildren involved in youth sports? If so, have you ever stopped to consider if they might be over-involved? Joining us to tackle this topic is author and speaker Margot Starbuck. She's the co-author of a new book called Overplayed, A Parent's Guide to Sanity in the World of Youth Sports. Good morning, Margot. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Now, my perception is that being involved in youth sports has changed pretty dramatically from when I was growing up. What has happened to the world of youth sports over the past few decades, and why are you concerned about some of those changes?
Mm-hmm. When I was playing sports in the 70s and 80s, I think a typical experience might have been to play in a city rec league, maybe play for your school. And in the last 10 years, 20 years, we've just seen an explosion of travel teams, elite leagues. And, you know, it's interesting is there are fewer young people participating on teams these days, but those who are just all in. And my real concern for families is the time that we're pouring into youth sports and also the money, the dollars. And, you know, if you look at the last 20, 30 years, the obesity levels in children have just risen. So we're not seeing, you know, a payoff across the board. But it's the time, the money, the energy that families are pouring into sports. And we are wanting to invite parents to think about the reasons that we're doing what we're doing.
So are these changes that we've seen, are they just mirroring some of the other changes in the culture as we've become more competitive, more materialistic, more consumeristic? Do you think that sports is just sort of a reflection of our general society?
Yeah, and I don't know that there's one answer, but one of the things that I did learn along the way from my co-author Dave King is director of athletics at Eastern Mennonite University, and the United States is really sort of the only nation that links academics and athletics. So in Europe, in South America, you know, they find their athletes outside of the university system. And so, yeah, one of the things that I think has happened in families' minds is, you know, if I give my kid every opportunity to excel, that really all that I'm pouring into sports is sort of investment for this scholarship payout. And in fact, I mean, that's a myth because of high school athletes, the ones who go on to play in college, only 3% of high school athletes will, and only a third of those will get scholarships. So I think a lot of parents have these dreams that my child can get this, you know, this full ride to college. And for most every child, that's just not going to be the case.
And then I know friends who have kids that are, they're convinced that their son is going to make it into the NFL. And I know several former NFL players, and they kind of chuckle at that, because if you look at that piece of the pie, okay, you look at the number of kids that make it into college sports, and then the number of those kids who go on to play professional sports, we're talking about 0.00-something%.
Yeah, it's so slim. It's so slim. But the thing that you're onto there, I think, about the way that parents see their children's performance, right? We have these parent goggles. We don't always see clearly. And I'll say one of the things I've had to adjust to is, you know, my two-year-old, three-year-old who is just magic with any ball that he touched and was just, you know, this fabulous little athlete. There's no correlation between kids' athletic performance before age 12 and after age 12. And so although, you know, I had this eight-year-old soccer star, you know, he got to high school and I realized, huh, he's not the star of the team anymore. And sometimes it's hard for parents to let go of our expectations for our children.
What are some important questions that moms and dads need to ask before allowing their child to get involved in youth sports, especially at the more competitive level, like the club teams, the traveling teams?
Yeah, I think a question for the whole family to discuss together is, what is the motivation? Why are we doing this? What's the result that we're after? Because I think if you have that conversation as a family, you know, you might find some decent motives, enjoying time with friends, staying active, having fun. But if we're really willing to be honest, I think there's pressure to keep up with other kids, right? If my son's friend is doing the fancy league and I want my kid to be able to play in high school, I think there's pressure to keep up. I think there's a fear of being left out, this business of you know, earning the scholarship. So it's great for families to have the conversation about why we're doing this and then be real honest about the time and the money that they're willing to put into youth sports.
You mentioned money. It can get really expensive, can't it?
It really can. A fellow on staff at University of Florida sort of did the math on his daughter's last soccer season, and it was over $18,000.
Oh, no.
I know. Yeah. And other research has shown families that are making $50,000 are spending, a lot of them, more than 10% of their annual income on youth sports. So it's really, it's gotten out of control.
Man, that is frightening just to think about. All of us, Margo, are familiar with the overzealous mom or dad who screams at the coach or the ump during Little League games. Is it true that you actually believe that good parents should try to stay away from their kids' games?
Isn't that funny? Okay, that parent, that kind of lets all of us off the hook. I found that in my own heart, right? If there's a really crazy guy, you know, I can say, well, I'm not that bad. But I would say that there is value in parents not staying at practice. There's value in parents occasionally missing a game because that allows for the sport to be your child's space, to let it be their own thing. It keeps parents from getting over-involved the way they're, you know, that we're tempted to do. And it also communicates to your athlete, to their siblings, that this isn't the center of our family's life. So I think there's so much value in athletics, but if parents can take a step back and give their children some space, I think it's a lot healthier.
Let's talk about it from a faith perspective for a moment. Why should Christian parents think differently about sports because of their faith in Jesus Christ?
Well, I think as we look at this attitude that parents have, that I owe my child the opportunity to get ahead of all the other children, that's not a value that I see in Scripture. I see a value on strong families. I see a value on loving one another. But this business of getting my child ahead doesn't feel like a Christian value. So, you know, when my daughter plays sports, she might be on a losing team, but when I see her picking up a cup of water, giving it to the starters on the basketball team when they come in from a timeout, like, that's the value that I want to develop in my child. And so, you know, parents can help develop the values that we communicate to our kids are important. But as far as prizing my child's success above other children, I think another thing we can do sort of, you know, on the bigger level is invite in kids who might not have the same opportunities that our children have. So it might be as simple as providing transportation for maybe the child of a single mom, but really including other kids and valuing them as much as we value our own children. That feels like Christian value.
It sounds like service and self-sacrifice. What a concept. So we're talking to Margo Starbuck. She has co-authored a new book called Overplayed, A Parent's Guide to Sanity in the World of Youth Sports. We'll take a quick break and be right back on the Faith Radio Network.
Not just information, transformation. Faith 90.7 AM 900.
Welcome back. It's the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer here with Margo Starbuck. We're talking about youth sports and the tendency of some parents to get their kids over-involved. And Margo, there are a lot of moms and dads and maybe even a lot of grandmas and grandpas listening that are concerned that those kids are going to suffer if they miss out on every opportunity in life, including competing in a variety of sports. Why is that such a misperception?
You know what? I think of my mom's generation and my grandfather's generation, where, like, you know, during the Depression, a kind aunt would give up her pork chop so that my grandfather could eat. And that's just, you know, and so we've developed this value of, I will sacrifice so that my children can do better than I did. But you know what? For a lot of families today, especially people of privilege, it doesn't translate across the generations that we should do everything we can for our children, and or that we ought to. So I think that when we take a step back and really have these conversations about what it is that we value, we may find that what I value more than my child being a starter on this elite team is I value my child being able to play games in the neighborhood with her friends. And you know, that's getting harder and harder as kids are so overscheduled. Or we might say, you know, even more than I value my child being at every single game that the coach puts on the schedule, our family is going to show up at grandma's birthday party. So when we get that schedule at the beginning of the season, we're going to let the coach know these are the days when we're out. So I think there's so much potential as families pause to make more conscious decisions to really make sports a great experience for kids.
One of the things, though, that a lot of parents are dealing with is the pressure from other parents, and you feel almost like a bad parent. You feel guilty if your kids are not involved in 1,000 different activities in every different sport. It almost feels, even as a Christian parent sometimes, like you are a salmon swimming upstream and all of the other salmon, all the other parents are swimming downstream. They're bonking you on the head, telling you that, you know, you're really not a good mom or dad if your kids aren't involved in all this stuff.
Absolutely. And that's why I think if we can begin to have these conversations, we can begin to support one another. I'm thinking of a couple of parents in my congregation who had a son who is a basketball player, a daughter who is a swimmer. They actually played lots of different sports, and these were both really gifted kids. And there was so much pressure for, I would say, that this young man, Jay, was probably, you know, 6 feet when he was in sixth grade. So all these teams wanted him. But his parents looked at Jay, and they said, you know what? Like, he's the kind of kid who's, you know, just as happy to be picking dandelions or, you know, doing Power Ranger kicks out on the floor. And so for right now, we're not going to push him along. We're looking at who he is, and we're going to let him be him, and we're not going to, you know, sort of shove him through the system. And then, you know what? When Jay became sophomore in high school, junior in high school, it became more appropriate for his involvement to increase. And he is going to be playing for University of Virginia next year. Yay! And I just so appreciate those parents who looked at who their child was, made a good decision for him, and didn't sort of bow to that pressure from families and coaches and the community.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure from the coaches. Oftentimes they want to get, of course, have the winning team and get the best kids on it. And so the kids that are bigger and stronger and go through puberty earlier. I can think about my daughter's basketball team. One day they played a team, I think the girls were probably around the same age, and these girls look like Amazon women. I mean, this coach had stacked the team with the largest, strongest girls, and, you know, my daughter's team was no match for them.
It doesn't make it very fun for the kids, that's for sure. And I think one of the things we do is, you know, when we do identify talent, then we've got those kids playing year-round, four seasons. And what the research shows actually is that if a child takes a season off, if they wait to specialize in a sport until those middle teen years, they're actually, if they play a different sport, they're going to be better equipped to, you know, physically, mentally, to play their sport of choice. But I think sometimes once a coach has them, they don't want to let them go, right? Because we're kind of afraid, well, if they try out this sport, I might lose them. But it's really great for young people to be playing different sports and also to give their bodies a break.
Hmm. So what should a parent look for in a sports league? How do you determine a kid-friendly league from a league that's really all about competition and winning?
Yeah, and you know what? I doubt that many of us have seen this league, but my friend and co-author Dave King actually had a little league like this in Pennsylvania, and what it looked like was they got together on Saturday mornings, and every week they sort of reshuffled the kids so that there was a different team composition each week. They had children playing all the different positions, including the bench, officiating. There weren't scoreboards, you know, there weren't standings. And what's interesting is without a scoreboard, the parents didn't stick around and the kids had a fabulous time. They had a lot of fun. And, you know, that doesn't look like our leagues, but it was really kid friendly and the kids had a great time.
Wow. And I can imagine a lot of parents, as you said, they're not sticking around because they're looking for the winning team, right? Which is
right.
Unfortunate. What are some of the values, the negative values that some youth sports now are actually instilling in a child? And of course, as I said, it's a far cry from when we were kids. But now there's some teams that actually are teaching kids the wrong stuff.
Yeah. And I think what that looks like is when winning becomes more important than relationships or individual development. And so maybe a team will let, you know, the child who's the superstar make all the goals so that they can win. And that's not teaching kids how to work together. It's not developing other players. You know, a lot of the leagues are teaching kids to play through the pain, right? This sort of macho ideal. But in fact, overuse injuries have just skyrocketed. And 50% of middle school, high school sports injuries are from overuse. And, you know, kids are just pushed and pushed and pushed. So, you know, they're physically compromised. And, just we assume that values in sports means hard work, teamwork, discipline, determination. But kids are learning a lot of other things as they see the, you know, the behaviors of the coaches, behaviors of the parents, and some of these other pressures.
So along those lines, what are some questions to discuss with your kids on the way home from a game?
I'm so glad you asked. You know, this is kind of counterintuitive, but for starters, I would say don't ask a question about the game. Let the child sort of lead the conversation. Maybe they'll talk about the game. Maybe they'll talk about the fact that, you know, Susie had bright green cleats on. but if you're going to talk about it, you might ask, what was your favorite part of the game? Or who did you sort of see shine today? Or what do you think the coach might do in practice this week? Because I think what's so hard on kids is when we evaluate their performance, when we talk about what they could have done differently, what their friends could have done differently. But rather, we sort of open it up to let them enjoy the game without that constant evaluation and criticism that's just tempting for parents to offer.
Great advice. The book, once again, is called Overplayed, A Parent's Guide to Sanity in the World of Youth Sports. The co-authors are Margo Starbuck and David King. Margo, thanks so much for your time today and for this great book, which I hope a lot of parents will pick up.
Bill, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.